Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
My dad used to say, if you have something mean to say to someone, write it down, leave it for a day, read it again the next morning, and if you still want to say it, you can, but if not, you should throw it away.
That's good advice.
Yeah, I never did it.
One bad review can feel like a wrecking ball to your reputation, scaring off customers before they even call. Now, you feel angry and powerless, as you know, buyers always check reviews these days.
You feel angry, either it's unfair and you're angry with the client, or maybe your team's let you down, you're angry with the team.
Even worse, when you see one that's been there for like 3 weeks and you didn't realise, and you wondered, well, is the phone stop ringing because of that review?
Your reputation just takes a hit.
You need good reviews to cancel out a bad one.
All people get is that one snapshot, so it's actually even more brutal because it can't be contextualized as well. And the worst part is that bad review sits there forever unless you do something about it.
Tune into this episode where we talk through how to fight back, how to bury the negatives, flood your business with positive reviews, and turn your online feedback into a sales and marketing weapon. You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. We will help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast. Welcome to the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, host with my good mate, co-host Phil Smith.
G'day, mate.
Yep, that's your cue to jump in.
Yeah, jumping on in, man.
Did well.
Yeah, ready to go.
You like a good jump in, anyway.
Oh, we're always jumping in.
Jump in, jump off, let's go.
All right, sweet. Well, today we're talking about how you can work your absolute backside off to do a great job, but then someone just tortures you with a one-star review, and overnight your reputation just takes a hit. You feel angry, either it's unfair and you're angry with the client, or maybe your team's let you down, you're angry with the team, start thinking, well, we're going to stop getting jobs, you know, maybe people won't want to work here when they see the negative reviews. And the worst part is that, you know, that bad review sits there forever unless you do something about it.
Yeah, it's a gut punch, isn't it? When you see that review, even worse, when you see one that's been there for like 3 weeks and you didn't realize, and you wondered, well, has the phone stopped ringing because of that review? It really hurts. And as you said, it does make you very angry. One, with the customer, how could they be so unreasonable? And two, with your team who cocked things up. And so it does your head in. I mean, you stay awake worrying about these sort of things. This episode is all about how to flip the script, because it's actually a fact of life now. I think it doesn't matter if your service delivery is exceptional. If you do enough jobs, eventually you're going to come across someone who's not happy. I don't know if it's impossible to avoid. I think it is, you know, if you do enough jobs. So this is going to crop up. So the key is to have a strategy for it, really, and to deal with it and not let it put a hole in your boat, as it were. So we're going to talk about how to actually bury the bad reviews, how to deal with them, how to get a bunch of good reviews, because that's really helpful as well, and how to use, you know, a system or some automation so you don't have to go around necessarily chasing reviews, and just how to get the best juice out of your marketing as well. Because the thing about reviews, it's not just about dealing with the one bad review, it's about how to build them up and layer them up so everything you do online seems better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you have a good strategy for this, you're going to crush your sales and marketing as well. So you'll take a kind of a negative and turn it into a positive, which is, yeah, it's always a good thing.
Yeah, build it into a strength. And I'm sure you got a story to kick us off.
I love this story. I've often talked about this one. It's about United Airlines.
Ooh.
I think it's 2009, the musician Dave Carroll was flying United Airlines, and he watched from the window of the aircraft in horror as the baggage handlers threw his expensive guitar around like a toy.
Ooh. Want to break a guitar.
No, and I'm not a guitar expert, but I know it was worth thousands of dollars, obviously. And
well, they don't like being thrown. That's something you tell you for free.
No, and he could see it out of the window on the tarmac, and so he complained, and for months he complained, but United didn't care. So he wrote the song United Breaks Guitars. Great song, by the way. Anyway,
bumper.
He uploaded it to YouTube, and it went completely viral, like over 22 million views. It was all over the beginnings of social media back then. And within 4 days, United's stock price had dropped 10%, wiping out like 180, 200 million worth of value. All from one customer, one bad experience, and one brutal review.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to do it right. Make a YouTube hit sensation song out of it and get max publicity. It's kind of... It's the ultimate gut punch, worse than just the Facebook drop.
It is, and obviously that was a pretty bad one from United Airlines, and you know, they probably deserved a little bit of a blowback from that one. But it shows you, you know, the impact of reviews when you don't manage this right. So we've got to make sure that we do that if and when it happens to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should have banked on the fact that you'd take a review story and find a way to weave in an airline into there. I mean, you're just a nut for planes, aren't you?
It wasn't quite a crash, so that was good.
No. It was a crash of sorts, I guess. Crash for their stock price. But anyway.
Well, that was really good, mate.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
It was a, you know. we could get it on Air Crash Investigation. Anyway, point is if you don't have a good strategy around online reviews, you can really run into some problems.
And particularly today, it's more and more important because, you know, when we shop online, basically we all check reviews. It's part of the buyer behavior now, so we need to be really aware of it. And if you're not managing it well, you're actually going to lose a lot of work and you're not going to know why. Like, it'll be kind of hidden to you. There's just not as many jobs coming through as many as you think. And that's because your potential customers or even potential employees, for example, they're going to check your reviews out before they call or before they say yes to a quote or a bid. And if they see this, it's going to make them think twice about actually doing business with you. And if you've got a lot of them, obviously that's a big problem. So they might just move on without ever giving you a shot to actually put it right. And so that's a big problem. And because we're so wired to focus on the negative as people, I don't know what this is, but, you know, one bad review can actually dominate the whole review landscape, if you like. You know, if you've got one bad review and you've got 10 good ones, well, they're probably going to put as much stock in the one bad one as 10 or so good ones. I think there's some math on that, actually, which we might dig into. But
sure.
I don't know about you, but I know when I look at reviews and I see it's like a, I don't know, it's a 4.5 star, I'm like, oh, there must be some bad ones. And you're like,
yeah, you go searching.
You're scrolling through all these reviews looking for the bad ones to
you
figure
out. You can actually filter it, man. So like, I know the stuff's all brand new to you, man, but you can go straight to the bad ones if you want to, and then you can find them. So, yeah, that's
so funny.
Yeah.
Jeez, I need to get out more. Anyway, and, you know, even worse, maybe if you have no reviews, like, you might be a reasonable business, but you've put no effort into reviews. That's as bad as bad reviews because it's like, well, people are going to think, you know, not trustworthy, haven't been tested, it's not legit. Because, you know, for contracting businesses and tradie businesses, trust is really important.
Yeah.
And silence is suspicious.
Absolutely.
So if you don't have a strategy for managing this, you know, because you're most likely going to get them from time to time, you're going to be very reactive instead of proactive. So you might get blindsided. It might sit there for a few weeks or even a few months before you even realize. And this happens. We see it with our members. Like, they're like, oh, I didn't realize they had these negative reviews. They've never really looked. That's definitely a problem.
Or you're so reactive, like one pops up and you just get sent into a tailspin because you're like, oh, what do I do? You know, I've got no idea. And you start, you know, racking your brains and asking people, what should I say? And you don't have a plan. So you either miss it or maybe you're just sent into, like I said, a bit of a tailspin. So
do a bad job of dealing with it.
Yeah.
Your phone's going to stop ringing. Other competitors are going to get the jump on you because they are proactive and they're actually stealing your lunch. And another thing here that you probably don't think about, you know, if you're listening, obviously this is important for getting jobs and projects. It's actually important for getting employees as well, because your good employees are going to go vet you online. They're going to look at everything. You know, they'll look at your socials in terms of the jobs you've done. But if you're on online directories for hiring, they're going to look at the reviews you get there as well. And if you've got a couple of bad ones or whatever, that's not going to be good. That could really scare away good people. So you've got to think about this from, you know, from all angles, not only getting clients, but also the marketing you do for getting team members, because that's, you know, obviously the most important marketing that happens in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. But on the other hand, if we do have a strategy for, you know, dealing with and driving positive reviews, you know, we can get some pretty good upsides.
You know, honestly, you can actually win work before you even do the quote or the bid, really, because your potential clients are seeing a wall of 5-star reviews. And there's a high level of trust before you even open your mouth, before they even talk to you or your business. So in a sense, they come largely pre-sold. They're easy to close, potentially less price sensitive. If you think about, they're looking at two competitors online, and one has got 300 reviews at 4.9 stars, and the other one's got 6 reviews and it's 3.8 stars. Like, you know, it's a no-brainer really right there.
Well, even the 300 reviews at 4.9 or 4.7 or even 4.5, like, that might be more powerful than having 3 reviews, you know, with a 5-star rating, because my first thought is, well, cool, so your mum, your sister and your dad reviewed you. Well done, man.
Yeah.
Like, nice faking it. That's real cool. Like, I mean, like, 3's right. Not really telling me much. It's kind of, yeah, a little bit unbelievable at that point.
It is. It is. It does feel like some mates' reviews. Anyway.
Whereas I doubt someone's got 300 odd mates that all chipped
well,
in.
Well, you know, some of us are well connected, bro. But you
yeah,
know.
Well,
anyway.
Hey, look, you know.
So the next one is you control the story. I think this is important. So bad reviews, they stick around, like you said. But when they're buried under a flood of positive ones, they become less relevant. So you can actually change the narrative. You know, you can build real know, like, and trust at scale. And that's what this is about, really. You know, getting people to know you, like you, and trust you, so they'll do business with you. And obviously, online is the window now. to the shop front. So that's how we do it. You can create a marketing engine as well that works largely on autopilot. So you can put some systems in place to automate reviews, automate the alerts of when you get bad reviews. There's a whole bunch of tech you can use here, which is going to help. And you can help you hire people as well. Like if you look mean from the outside, great reviews on your job sites and on obviously the where you're marketing for work, then that's a really attractive feature to potential employees because they want to work somewhere good.
Yeah. And if they can see that, I mean, across all your channels, I mean, again, it's not uncommon for someone when you're hiring, not just to look you up on the job sites, but also to check out your Google reviews, your Facebook reviews. You know, hey, look, is this company as good as they say they are? Am I stepping into a difficult situation myself, or is this going to be working well for me? So I think that's all pretty normal these days. So should we jump into where we start with this?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of strategies here that I think we want to jump into. One is how to actually deal with bad reviews when you get them. And then two, which is part of dealing with bad reviews, is how to actually build a good presence online. So they're two parts of the same approach. But yeah, before we dig into that, I think there's a couple of things to think about here just to understand why this is important. And the first thing is, you know, back in the day, you have a shop window or a showroom, and, you know, you'd always make sure that looked good because people walking past would look at it and people judge a book by its cover. Well, it's the same with your online presence. That's kind of like the showroom now. And in particular, the comments and the reviews that people make about your business, they really, really, really count now.
Yep.
And so this is important. And I know when you're out in the field, you're doing jobs, you're chasing up money, when you're frustrated with your team and trying to get them to do stuff, sometimes this reviews feels like, well, that's just something I'll do for another day. But that's probably a mistake.
Yeah,
it is a mistake.
I think we really underestimate that shop front mentality because, it is very easy to say, yeah, but everyone that I spoke to, everyone I actually deal with, everyone that, comes into contact with me, they love it. They're great. They're always very positive. You know, people say a lot of great stuff about me. And I'm like, yeah, but if all I can see online is bad
or nothing
or even there's just enough bad that it doesn't get outweighed by the good, all of this is actually the stuff that's doing the most damage because word of mouth's only going to go so far. Like your online presence is everywhere and so accessible, and the amount of people that are actually looking at that is out the gate compared to the amount of people that are listening or being exposed to the word of mouth. So this is, I think, very underrated. And like end of the day, like you said, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So your reviews are absolutely crucial to building up that trust. There's nothing quite like social capital or, like social proof, because you can say till you're blue in the face, and in your website, it might say a whole bunch of stuff about all the quality that you do and all the great customer service. But then the reviews, if they say something different, that's actually what will be listened to, because whatever you say is sales, but whatever, your customers say, that's facts in the mind of someone looking. So I think it's really, really crucial you get this right. Builds up the trust. It's like the rocket fuel on your marketing and sales activities. Strong reviews is just going to make everything go better.
That's like, the really thing. Across the board. And we sit with our members often. They work hard on this strategy, and all of a sudden, they're really getting some good bite and traction with their sales and marketing, and it's no accident that the online presence has been built up. And it is, like you said, just like rocket fuel on all the other activities you do. So I think that's massive. And buyer behavior, as you said, it does involve checking out reviews today. I mean, you go on Amazon or download some music, all that stuff, we just look to see what everyone else says like this. It's very, very powerful. So I think we need to, to be aware of that and understand how important it is to our business. And you might think, oh, well, I don't, I'm doing okay. I'm quite busy at the moment. But if you want to grow, you're going to have to get new customers. And even if you want to stay the same, you're going to have to get new customers because you will eventually lose some customers. And new customers who have seen your reviews and can see that know, like, and trust through your powerful online presence, it'll just make everything much easier. So I think it's important for everything. And the thing with this is understanding this negativity bias, which is, something we touched on. One bad review is not offset by one good review. And there is some research on this that people have done, and it shows that you need 20-plus good reviews to cancel out a bad one.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that's actually really important to understand. It's the same across everything. Like even when you're hanging out with people, there's been studies done where like they have a bunch of people in a room and they're all trying to solve problems together, and they'll insert an actor who's a really negative person, and that will really drag everybody down into a space of negativity. If they introduce an actor with a really positive outlook, that will actually bring everybody up. Now, if they introduce one of each, everyone still goes negative. It took 4 or 5 positive people to outweigh the negative one, and even then, the negative one still swayed a percentage of the group. So it's just the same thing, really, with your reviews and the online presence. Only difference is that all people get is that one snapshot. So it's actually even more brutal because it can't be contextualized as well. And so this is really important. You have to have a lot of positivity in there because you will get bad ones. You know, if you're in business long enough and you serve enough people, it's unavoidable, well, like you said.
And even if it's not a client, you know, we've seen members get reviews from people who've never done a job for. There's just idiots out there who like to go online and write stupid stuff. They get their kicks out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, you might even get a bad review from that.
You could get a bad review from someone who, you know, you're an electrician, they call you up and ask you, you know, are you a plumber? And you say, oh, sorry, we're an electrician. And that person leaves a bad review because you wouldn't do their plumbing work. You know, like that stuff happens. And so yeah, if you can't get those positives in there, you will get the negatives eventually. So you really have to deal with the negatives, but building those positives is such an important thing.
Yeah, and look, let's be honest, it is super frustrating. It feels like, you know, kicking the teeth, but it's not the end of the world.
No.
It's not the end of the world. The sky's not falling, but it is important to deal with it. And sometimes, let's be honest, you need to take the feedback that may be coming, because you are coming up short in a particular area. I know a service provider that I've used is our local GP.
Oh, call them out.
I'm not going to do that. But flipping heck, like, the reviews on that place are terrible for the people at the front desk. There's heaps of them, scathing reviews, and it's like, I can see why, because they are.
Yeah.
So that might be a lesson to them to actually sort it out. So, you know, sometimes there's a lesson there, but also don't kill yourself about the fact that you've got a bad review. It's just how we deal with it. And really, there's two ways to deal with this.
Yeah, well, shall we start with the how to react to the bad ones?
Let's do that. I think that's... you're a very, you know, very calm person. You never overreact. So this is probably your thing, mate.
Well, you know, if you know me, you know I never overreact, ever. So, look, I think the first one is when you get a bad one, you really need to have a system that's actually going to alert you to when that review is given. So I think right at the start, you need to know it happened. And so, like, either you can do manual checking, which, you know, is time-consuming, and actually it can be a little bit of a slippery slope, almost like checking Facebook to see if you got likes, Tony.
No, mate, I'm securing myself. We're good.
Sure, sure. Either way, my point is you don't want to be jumping on every day and having to look at that. You know, you can do that. It can work, but you can also use software for it. So things like Podium or Reputation.com, you know, these can help alert you and just say, hey, by the way, you got a review, and you can check it at the time. So if you have a system that's going to notify you that you got a review, it means you can stay on top of it and not have too much lag between.
Yeah, because you do want to deal with these things quickly. And some people have systems outside Google that they use for reviews, like Review User, an example. So that'll send
a Better Bunch now.
Better Bunch, there you go. They'll send you an email, and it's like a smiley face or a flat face or an unhappy face. And if they click an unhappy face, it sends it to you rather than Google.
Yeah,
and
diverts you can deal to with email.
It. You can deal with it. So
the positive one takes the reviews.
So, you know, there's some ways of doing this. You can try and hit people off before they hit Google. And make it right. So that's a proactive strategy. But first thing is to stay calm, take a few deep breaths. That's really, really important, because it's easy to just for the red mist to descend and you to lose your marbles, either trying to call the person up or write something that you regret.
Yeah, my dad used to say, if you have something mean to say to someone, write it down, leave it for a day, read it again the next morning, and if you still want to say it, you can, but if not, you should throw it away.
It's good advice.
Yeah, I never did it.
Yeah, well, you should have listened.
Maybe I should, yeah.
Sparky Dad is a good man. You should have listened.
Sparky Dad is a clever guy.
Stay calm, but you do want to respond quickly. So, and ideally, if you can respond offline and try and deal with the issue in a way that can turn the client around, that's a great strategy, because we've seen lots of members do it. They've been able to turn 1 star, 2 stars, and 2 5-stars by actually dealing with it offline. Person changes the review. So that requires you to get the facts, obviously, hear the person out, and acknowledge the problem and sort of talk through it with them in a calm way, talk about how you could fix it with them, and that's a great way of doing it. If you can do that,
if you can turn them around, those actually become really, really powerful reviews as well, because, you know, they change the review and it turns from this person had a really bad experience to this person had a bad experience, but you solved it in such a satisfactory way and actually turned that, you know, whole thing around. They got the result they wanted and they feel really good about it. they write that in the review, and actually what that proves to potential clients is that it's like, if you have an issue, you deal with it and you make sure that the customer's happy at the end. So actually that looks really, really good, because everyone knows that you're going to make mistakes from time to time or have an issue or something won't go perfect. But the way that you deal with that, if that's always going to provide a great experience, then that's really good. That actually looks better than just having nailed it the first time sometimes. So I think that that's a really good way
to go. That's right. So if you can do that and head it off at the pass, as it were, get it changed, talk to them, fix their problem, clarify any misunderstandings which can happen, that's a great strategy. But, you know, sometimes you're not going to be able to do that. Maybe you can't get hold of them. I mean, you should be able to get hold of them, because you will have had a phone number to do the job.
Yeah.
That's a harder strategy for people who have online businesses, isn't it? You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, but if you can't do that, then it's important to respond promptly online and acknowledge the problem. So say, yeah, appreciate you putting the review. You know, talk through how you tried to fix it for the client. If you tried to call them, explain, look, we tried to reach out. Tell them how you've changed things for the future, so how you've changed your systems. And the key thing here is to remember that if they've left a bad review, really the person you're writing the response to, it's not that client, it's your future clients.
Yep.
You're basically writing something there so the future clients know that you took this seriously, you're a real person, you care about the results, and you're trying to make things better, and that this won't happen again in the future. That's who you're writing the response for. Obviously to acknowledge that person, but the general theme is who's going to look at this next.
And I think it is important to point out as well, it's like if you haven't done work for the person, it's like say that in your response. And, you know, if you have tried to reach out to the person, you've been unsuccessful, it's like make that very clear in your response. Just so then that way, you know, everyone can see the effort that you've put in to remedy the situation. And again, if it wasn't someone you've done work for, then again, everyone can see that it's like maybe this is an unjustified review. So I think with that, you know, you do want to help the person regardless, but, you know, make it clear the steps that you've taken and the steps that you will take. And then that way everyone can see, you know, not only are you very reasonable to deal with, and that you're human and that you might make a mistake, but also they can see that this is the way you deal with a problem when it comes up, which builds a lot of, you know, credibility for you and the way that you operate. So yeah. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And, you know, you might be thinking, hey, I'm not very good with words and all that, is that sort of thing. And I get that. Well, the great news is we have ChatGPT, and so you can put in the person's negative review, and you can, you know, suggest some things that you would want to have in the response, and ask ChatGPT to write you a response, you know, to this Google review, and it'll come out with a really, you know, really solid response. You know, with these things, it pays to put a little bit of detail in here, and rather than just one line, you know, make it a paragraph or two, so it makes it seem like you've really taken the time to think about this. That's super important. And to tie this in, you do need someone who's responsible in your business to do this. So that might be you, or if you've got a larger business, maybe you've got 10, 15, 20 people out in the field, whatever. You've got a marketing person or you know, office manager. Make someone responsible for doing this, either the reach outs to the client at the start and for following up on the review and writing a response. That's super important. Otherwise, it tends to just fall through the cracks.
Yeah, well, if it's nobody's job, you can't be surprised it didn't get done. So
that's right. It's
pretty simple in that regard. So again, can be you, but then in that case, make it clear to yourself, this is my job, this is part of what I do. And then whether it's you or someone else, at least someone's going to take ownership of that, which is crucial.
So that's important. So that's the first thing we deal with the actual negative review. The second way is, as we said, you know, it's a 1 to 20 plus relationship of negative to positive review. So we need to proactively build overwhelming positive online reviews so the impact of negative reviews is severely diminished.
Yeah.
And this is a good strategy anyway, even if you don't have negative reviews yet, to put rocket fuel on your existing sales and marketing activity. So you really want to think about, how can I look like the boss dog online, that I'm the, you know, the most trustworthy service provider in the area, so you need to ring me straight away. That's what you're aiming to do.
Yeah, well, those positive reviews, I mean, it's kind of like that old Sylvester Stallone saying, right? And he's like, I'd rather have a gun and not need it than need a gun and not have it. You know, those positive reviews are that metaphorical gun. You know, like, I mean, if you don't get a bad review, cool, well, then you got heaps of positive ones. This looks great. And then when you get a bad one, well, you got heaps of positive ones, so it's outweighed. So either way, I mean, you can't lose driving positive reviews. It's a really important thing to do in your business. And once again, I think when we're starting with this, you need a process. You know, if you don't have a process, this is going to be ad hoc at best. So you need a process and system for actually generating these reviews. So, you know, you can make it part of your job completion process, just like sending an invoice, is ask for a review. People are never going to be happier than when the job is immediately completed. So that's really when you want to ask. And again, there's systems like as we said, you know, Review You, which is now called Better Bunch, which will, you know, prompt people immediately when you send the invoice, hey, how did you find our service? Smiley face, medium face, negative face. Obviously, if they click the smiley face, it takes them straight through to do an online review. You capture it right there. Can be automated. Otherwise, just ask. You know, I mean, it could be on a checklist for the tradesman at the end. It could be something that, you know, your office team does as they invoice. They also ask in that email, or they send a separate email, or they call up, or, you know, you could do an after sales call, you know, check in. Hey, how did that go? You know, would you mind leaving a positive review, you know, if they're happy? You know, that stuff's all pretty easy to do, but you need a system. How is this going to happen? How are we going to ask? And then that way you make sure that you do ask and this actually happens, you know, consistently.
Yeah, real simple. Like I said, system, you got to ask. That's absolutely critical. And you got to ask at the right time and you have to make it simple. And by making it simple, you need to send a clickable link or a QR code if it's more you know, face-to-face or whatever. But have a link that they can click that goes directly to where you want them to review. Don't make them do any work, because if they do, honestly, you'll basically get no reviews. I can tell you that straight away. So you make a clickable link, send it, and it's easy for them to do, just like that.
You don't want them to have to jump through hoops to help you. Yeah. You know, like have a link, put it really right there, and you know, bring it out at the time. Don't let them go and find your page later and try.
They'll never do it. So that's part of the system, and you can automate this. You know, the ask, as you said, with Software Podium. There's a whole bunch of things out there. Even some of the jobbing and field software. We'll do that for you now. So that's part of your process. And then lastly, obviously you need someone responsible for this in the business and you need some KPIs and business measures. That's really important. So you measure how well you're doing this, because if you don't measure it, no one's really responsible or accountable. Nothing will happen. So it might be, you know, something like at least 5 reviews per month is get done. And maybe that's your marketing person's KPI or your office team's KPI or your salesperson's KPI, whatever it is, because what gets measured gets done. That's absolutely critical.
Yeah, and I think one thing on those links as well, just to circle back to that really quick, is try to have options, because like one thing that we do see a little bit of is, you know, someone will have a Google review link, and the problem is that in order to leave a Google review, you need a Google account, and there are people that don't have one, and they click that, and they go, oh, I've got to log in with a Google account, don't have one, so they just brush it. And again, if you had a Facebook link, well, people need to have a Facebook account. Now, I would actually hazard a guess and say more people have a Facebook account than a Google account. But if you have both there, then it means that if someone doesn't have one, hopefully they have the other. You've got options. I think that's the key. And I mean, if they don't have either, you could also have a link or reply to this email with your words, and we'll publish them on our website. Like, give them options. Because again, if you've made it hard, if they have to jump through hoops to leave the review, they just won't. And so you'll miss out on a lot of opportunity. So got to make it easy to them. And respond to the reviews that you get, the positive ones too. I think that's crucial. Like, you got to thank them for their review. Like, if someone leaves a good review and you can call them personally, again, respond offline, really thank them, make them feel great about having done it. And then, you know, if you respond to the positive reviews as well, so someone leaves a positive review online, you can respond to that and say, hey, thanks, it was awesome doing the work for you, like really can't wait to do your next project or something like that. Again, it just shows that, you know, you care and you appreciate the nature of that review. That actually helps more people review in the future, because they also see the reviews that are there and they go, wow, you really do appreciate that and care, this does matter to you, and they're actually more likely to leave an even better review. So it's crucial.
Yeah, and we have members who also incentivize reviews with competitions, you know, with the little offers when you give a review. They can definitely help. But if you get the system right, that's going to do a lot of the heavy lifting to start with as well. And we've talked about jobs, obviously, but I just want to reiterate how this principle applies to hiring employees as well. And we have had members who have had an ex-employee. I can think of one in particular, had an ex-employee who left a very dirty review, a one-star review. And this particular member had hired some other people, and a couple of them had given them feedback to say, actually, we almost didn't apply for this job because of that one-star review, when actual fact the person who left that review was a very poor employee, was a bitter person who really needed to be exited from the business, but that's all they had this one negative review. And so that business now has worked hard on getting a bunch of positive reviews on Indeed, which has, you know, improved their ability to hire people as well. So don't forget about that side of it, because obviously hiring people is one of the most important things you do, and you want to get that right. Again, the no, like, and trust applies. People you know, want to do business with good people, and employees want to work with good people. So that's super, super important.
All right, man. Well, I think we've got some good stuff in there, man. So should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So 1-star reviews are super frustrating, but you can take control of your online presence by bearing those reviews with a positive, proactive online review strategy. It's going to make all your marketing and sales go better, and also going to help you hire better people. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast. Cash is like oxygen for your business. Without cash, you can't pay your bills and your business withers and dies. Basically, you end up with stress, overwhelm, you can't pay your bills, you can't pay your staff, and you just end up in a place you don't want to be. Tune into today's episode where we discuss the three pillars of cash flow and how to make sure that you don't end up with a cash flow symptom that will sink your business.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.